الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين من بعد. We continue with the tafsir of Surah An-Nisa, and today is the 25th of Rabi'ul Awwal 1433, which corresponds to the 17th of February 2012. And no, this is not the year when the world will end, as opposed to what has been circulating recently. But back to this topic. In fact, last week's class was made deliberately short, because we came to this ayah, which I did not wish to elaborate on unless we had sufficient number of students, because I didn't want you guys to miss out on the tafsir of this particular ayah. And so I figured last week we'll postpone it till today, and then alhamdulillah here we are being given a chance. And this ayah is one of the most fundamental, foundational ayat in regards to the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and why is it that we insist on following the way of the Salaf. What is it? What is this attachment of ours with the Salaf? And why are we obsessed with the Salaf? And why we mention the Salaf all the time? Because in nowadays it has been claimed, like for example, there's a James White who has been corresponding with me in regards to my lecture quoting Jesus. He's already had 4 audio files, which I have on my phone, where he's commenting on the lecture quoting Jesus. And he refers to me as a Salafi Muslim. So even James White, who is a missionary and evangelist and whatever, he's aware of these differences, and so he refers to me as a Wahhabi Salafi. And he says, well, you know, there's a hadith in Muslim, and if I understand things correctly, you as a Salafi Muslim would not be one who would reject the hadith, because he's debated with Muslims who reject the hadith. So he's come to know at least that the Salafis are ones who adhere to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, what I'm saying Salafi now, I do not mean, waikum salam, the group. I do not mean the group who call themselves Salafis, because we have Salafis in practice and we have Salafis in name. And I'm referring to the Salafis in practice, whether they call themselves that or they choose not to, like myself and like many others, like Sheikh bin Uthaymeen, who chose not to call himself Salafi, nor to make this a point in people's face, Salafi, Salafi, Salafi. But he was Salafi, for sure, in terms of what he believed in his manhaj. So I'm referring to the Salafis as in the general masses of Muslims who follow the way of the Salaf, not 3 websites and 3 shuyukh who have made their own thing and they called it Salafi, even though very often they oppose Salafiyah. Ala kulli hal, James White knows now what the Salafis believe. And so he's making it seem though that this is some Saudi related thing, and he says these people are greatly influenced by Ibn Taymiyyah. So in his mind, because he's probably reading a lot of Sufi stuff, he now believes that the whole thing of Salaf, these Salafis of today, are merely people affected by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, who came 700 years after the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, which is false. And in my response to him, I will clarify that Shaykh al-Islam is one of our shuyukh, but he is not the only shaykh. Rather, he has predecessors in his manhaj going back to the Sahaba. So this ayah is at the heart, at the core and of this whole discussion. An ayah which is the fine line between being a true follower of the way of the Salaf versus a claimant. And so the ayah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَمَن يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. And whoever opposes the messenger after guidance has come clear to him and follows other than the way of the believers, and follows other than the way of the believers, we will give him what he has taken and drive him into hell. And evil it is as a destination. Indeed, Allah does not forgive association with him, but he forgives what is less than that for whom he wills. And he who associates others with Allah has certainly gone far astray. Now, the Shaykh says, rahimahullah, وَمَنْ يُخَالِفِ الرَّسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَيُعَانِدُهُ فِيمَا جَاءَ بِهِ. The one who opposes the messenger صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ and يُعَانِدَهُ. يُعَانِدَهُ is a verb. From which noun or adjective is it derived? Anid. Does it come in the Quran? It does come in the Quran. If my memory serves me well, either Surah Noon or Surah Qaf. And there's another one as well. Alqiya fi jahannama kulla jabbarin anid. Sahih? And another one, manna'in al-khayri mu'tadin murib. Ala kulli hal, it comes. Anid is one is who what? Alaykum salam. What is anid? Stubborn. Stubborn. So, yu'aniduhu, meaning he contradicts him with stubbornness. The one who opposes, yukhalif, from khilaf. The one who differs with the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he contradicts him with stubbornness in regards to what he has brought from Allah. مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى. After guidance has become clear. Which means that if guidance has not yet become clear, there's some leeway, there's some flexibility, because this person is jahil. And the jahil, the ignorant person, takes special rulings in Islam. The ignorant person is excused often. Except in what? What are the things which no one is excused about? Sure. Just pull it really quick. Open it really quick. Because you're going to take 5 minutes driving me crazy, man, with this. Who said shirk? Give us an example. What are the things which you're not excused to be ignorant about? You cannot stand before Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah and say, Wallah, I didn't know. What? What? Exactly what?
Can you worship
me? Ibadah. Can someone say, I'm a Muslim, but I didn't know that we should worship Allah alone? Is that possible? That's impossible. For you to be a Muslim, that means you must have understood in the beginning that you will worship none but Allah. Because for you to enter into Islam, you have to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Yani, it doesn't make sense. So there are areas where there's no excuse for jahil. Waalaikum salam. Someone cannot claim that they are ignorant. They cannot claim that they are ignorant. But if someone in other areas, if they are ignorant, they are excused before Allah. They are excused before Allah. Can someone quote an ayah from the Quran which supports this idea that you are excused if you don't know? It doesn't, I mean, it's a general ayah which can be applied in this particular case. It's in Surah Al-Isra. It's the ayah which I remember in Hajj, we made a competition among the Filipino community. The one who answers will get 500 riyals. And they read the whole Quran. Alhamdulillah, looking for this ayah. And they got it. An ayah in Surah Al-Isra to the effect that if you don't know, no punishment. No da'iyah can be a da'iyah without knowing this ayah, guys. I'm sorry. Can't really be effective. You could be just doing something, but you can't really get it right with it, because this ayah, you need to quote in da'wah often. Specifically when someone tells you, I became Muslim, my mother was living in, I don't know where, Virginia. She's never heard about Islam. Nobody ever gave her da'wah. And she died as a Christian. Is my mom in hell? And so, you need to have an answer. And you have to tell them, well, no, Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. That's the ayah. We were never to punish until a messenger has been sent. Which means, unless you know about something, you're still not held accountable. Once you know and you don't apply, then you become liable. Before that, you're not. مَا كُنَّا مُعَذِبِينَ. We were never ever to punish anyone until a messenger, meaning until a message has been delivered. Without the message being delivered, no one will be punished. Are we on the same page? So remember the ayah. وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. Memorize it. You want me to give you the ayah number? What happened, man? You guys scared me. I was getting you the ayah. Everybody spoke at the same time. Don't get Ammu Yusuf excited, man. Isra. Right there. MashaAllah. Ayah 15 then. 15, not 50. أيوة. من اهتدى فإنما يهتدي لنفسه ومن ضل فإنما يضل عليها ولا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى وما كنا معذبين حتى نبعث رسولا. Then وإذا أردنا أن نهلك قرية أمرنا متر فيها ففسقوا فيها. These ayat, you know, they're often recited in salah, specifically nowadays. Because of, now subhanAllah, by the way, يعني, of course it is saddening what is happening to our brothers in Syria. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to alleviate their suffering and to destroy this wicked low-life bastard who's been put in charge of them. But if you notice now, when you hear the Quran in the Salah, it has a special flavor now. يعني, before that event, You read the ayat where Allah speaks about the zalimeen and the punishment of the zalimeen and how Allah saves the believers, and they may just pass you by. But now, even though they're the same things they recite, now you connect them to current events. You connect them to current events and it provides you with strength. Yeah, and you feel confidence in the promise of Allah after you get out of the salah, knowing that the time will come when they will be victorious. It's just a matter of time. The question is, how patient are we going to be, and what is the assistance that we will provide for our brothers? What can you do? Some people got money, some people got connections, some people got more than that. They need help. They ultimately need help. So everybody has to do something for his brothers. The dua is the least of obligations. The least of obligations. Ala kulli hal. So
I have a question. I mean, does this ayah mean that the Jews and the Christians or any other disbeliever will not be held accountable if they did not get the message?
No. It means that if they legitimately did not receive the message of Islam, they will be tested by Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Not that they will not be held accountable. They will not be punished. The ayah doesn't say you will not be held accountable. مَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ. We were not to torture anyone until a messenger has been sent. Which, now we have a hadith in Muslim, the hadith of Al-Aswad radiallahu anhu, which explains this dilemma. And the summary of the hadith, that individuals who did not receive the message of Islam, individuals who did not receive the message of Islam will present their case before Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. They will say, oh Allah, we did not receive the message. Then Allah will make them promise. He will take a covenant from them that they will obey Him in regards to whatever He commands. This is on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And they will say yes. Okay? Allah will make them promise they will obey Him. And they will say yes. After that is done, fire will be presented. And Allah will say, throw yourself in the fire. What will happen? Those who obey Allah and jump into the fire will end up in Jannah. Jazir. Because he asked the question. Let me just finish answering him. Those who throw in themselves in the fire will end up in Jannah. And those who don't will end up where? In the hellfire. That one test, by the way, some will say, but that's not fair. Because they got only one exam and we have to go through a billion. We say no. Allah knows that that one exam manifests their whole life. Had they been alive, had they received, this will be exactly the way they would have behaved here. Because Allah does not oppress anyone. But the thing is, you know, when you this promise Allah that you will obey Him, and then Allah commands you to throw in the fire, would Allah betray them? So they didn't trust Allah, they were disbelievers in Allah. And so they end up in the hellfire. The believer, like Ibrahim, when he told them, slaughter your son, did he do it or not? Even though this is not normal, did he do it or not? This is iman. So even if Allah tells them, jump in the fire, had they been real believers, they would have said, sami'na wa ata'na. And Allah wouldn't mistreat them. You see what I'm saying? So anyone who didn't receive the message of Islam, this will be their condition on Yawm al-Qiyamah. But those who receive it and refuse it, among the Jews and the Christian atheists, they go into Jahannam. Hey. طيب, how did I get here? نعم. So, من بعد ما تبين له الهدى. The Sheikh said, بالدلائل القرآنية والبراهين النبوية. يعني, how does the guidance become clear to someone? Through Quranic evidences and through prophetic proofs. Quranic evidences and prophetic proofs. ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين. So if he opposes the messenger after guidance has become clear, then he follows a path or a way other than that of the believers. وسبيلهم هو طريقهم في عقائدهم وأعمالهم. What is the way? When we say other than the way of the believers, the Sheikh said the way of the believers is their method in their creed, in their belief system, and in their actions. وأعمالهم. نوليه ما تولى. The one who has made that choice, we will let him take that path which he has. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. Chosen for himself. أي نتركه ومختاره لنفسه ونخذله. We will abandon him along with that which he has chose, and we will disappoint him, or we will humiliate him from خذلان. Or خذلان. فلا نوفقه للخير. So he will not be given success to establish goodness. He will not be granted success to establish, to have goodness, to act upon goodness. لكونه رأى الحق وعلمه وتركه. Because he has seen the truth and he knew the truth, then he abandoned the truth. فجزاؤه من الله عدلا أن يبقيه في ضلاله حائرا ويزداد ضلالا إلى ضلاله. So then his recompense with Allah, or his recompense from Allah based on justice, is that Allah will allow him to remain in that deviance, confused, and he will increase him in deviance, over his deviance. يعني, those who are guided, Allah says about them, وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا هُدًى. And Allah will increase those who have been guided with more guidance. And this person will be increased with more misguidance. Very dangerous thing. This is why you find that this this campaign against the Wahhabis has led many people astray. Because at some point in time, when you read the books of Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, if you are a fair and square person, you can't help but appreciate the message of Tawheed contained therein. I mean, you see the guy talking about, you know, La ilaha illallah, and the rights of Allah, and worshipping Allah alone, the importance of Tawheed, you know, the dangers of shirk. That's what he's saying. And nothing is mentioned without reference from the Quran and the Sunnah. Because Allah said, because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, so they hate him. They have known the truth, and they hate him. Once they reject the truth, and they put the Wahhabi stamp on that person, the Shaykh himself, or any of his followers, then Allah beautifies for them this path of theirs. And so from that moment onwards, every time they're presented with the truth, it becomes easy for them to say, oh, this is Wahhabi from the Wahhabiyya. And so they reject it and they go further into deviance, thinking that they are the ones who are rightly guided and that Sufism is the core of Islam. You may not know that, but if you read the comments which these people leave on the various locations where da'wah is being made, you will become very much convinced that these are people whom Allah has allowed to go further in guidance because they have went against the Sahaba who were not Sufis. Not. Never claimed to be one. Abu Bakr, the first Khalifa, didn't say, come let me teach you new tariqah. Which we called it Al-Bakriya, like their Naqshbandiya and the Batikhiya, which they come up with. He didn't do that. He didn't do anything from anything to this effect, period. But today, they say, no, Mawlana Shaykh and this and that, and the tariqah, you have to have a tariqah, and you have to have a murid, you have to have a peer, and you have to have a master, a Sufi master. And then they claim that this is all from Sahaba, that the Sahaba were Sufis. And they know they're liars. They know that they are liars. So these are classical examples of people whom Allah Azza wa Jalla has allowed to go. They want the path. نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى. Allah will let them take the path, but they will end up in the hellfire. It's just like that. So we hope they make the right choice soon.
Can you quote this
ayah? 115. Yeah, that's what happens when you come late, man. The class began with the number of the ayah. Next time everybody has to be here before the beginning of the class. Barakallahu feekum. Otherwise, I'm not going to do anything about it. Well, what can I do? I have to accept it. But try to come early. Barakallahu feekum. It'll make everybody happy. Speaking of coming early, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, brother. Were you spear fishing? It's good in the morning, huh? طيب كما قال تعالى فلما زاغوا أزاغ الله قلوبهم. That's another ayah you need to memorize. And this is, so I wish if you would just take down a small note. Ayah 15, Surah Al-Isra. And then this is Surah Al-Saf, I believe ayah number 4 or 5. In the first page, the bottom of the page, Surah Al-Saf. So when they deviated, Allah caused their hearts to deviate. I wish you would make a reference and memorize these ayat. When you go back home, memorize them, because these are ayat that are crucial in da'wah. This is one of the evidences you can prove that, you know, when the people deviate from the path, then Allah will make their hearts deviate. So then you try to give them da'wah afterwards, it's just ineffective. They just don't believe you. They don't want to listen because in the initial stages, they came across guidance and they didn't need it. They didn't want it. They said, it's okay. They know Islam is the truth, but it conflicts with them having a girlfriend. So he doesn't want to become a Muslim because he prefers his girlfriend. Okay? So he may have been convinced in the beginning that Islam is the way of life and not Christianity. Once he chooses his girlfriend over Islam, then you come and try to convince him otherwise next time about Islam. He's no longer convinced that Islam is the way of life. Then Allah beautifies for him Christianity. And he becomes a strong adherent to Christianity. And he becomes a servant of Jesus. And he will go further into deviance, thinking that he has found the truth. That is a consequence of that initial rejection. Allah wouldn't make that happen unless he had initially come across the truth and turned away from it. So it is jaza'an wifaqa, an equal recompense. That's what they deserve. نعم. وقال تعالى ونقلب أفئدتهم وأبصارهم كما لم يؤمنوا به أول مرة. And we turn another ayah, which is to the same effect. And we turn their hearts and their sight as if they never believed in it the first time. As if they had never believed in it the first time. ويدل مفهومهما على أن من لم يشاقق الرسول ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين بأن كان قصده وجه الله واتباع رسوله ولزوم جماعة المسلمين ثم صدر منه من الذنوب أو الهم بها ما هو من مقتضيات النفوس وغلبات الطباع فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُوَلِّيهِ نَفْسَهُ وَشَيْطَانَهُ. Allahu Akbar. This is the good news, ya akhwan. Listen attentively. Now, we understand from the ayah the following, that the one who does not oppose the messenger, nor does he follow the path or a way other than that of the believers, who were the Sahaba at that time. Which means his intent is Allah's countenance. His intent is the face of Allah. Your intent, your niyyah, is to seek Allah's pleasure and to follow his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to stick to the main body of Muslims. To stick and adhere to the main body of Muslims, of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, obviously. Yet, you committed some sins. Some sins were committed. Or even the thought, the contemplation of committing a sin, which is a byproduct of human being, the natural tendency of human beings. And because of the, you know, the strength of that inclination towards sin, that Allah will not let him take that path, nor will he give the shaitan authority over him. Yani, there's a difference between, but because see, two people may be opposing the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and following a way other than that of the believers. However, one had done so because of weakness. He struggled, and the shaitan got the best of him, and he violated the sunnah, and he committed a sin. That one, Allah will not let him go in that path of destruction. You see, because in the state, in the initial stage, he was seeking Allah's pleasure and seeking to follow the Prophet ﷺ. Another one who also opposes the messenger, but not because of weakness, because of deviance. He deliberately wants to go against the sunnah and follow a sheikh, even though he knows that that sheikh of his is going against the sunnah. Then even though both have went against the sunnah, one Allah will pardon and he will not allow him to go astray, while the other Allah will not pardon and allow him to go astray, because of the niyyah behind that violation. It is just like Adam and Iblis. Both disobeyed Allah. One was told not to eat from the tree, and one was told to prostrate. Both did not obey. However, Adam did it out of weakness, and he repented to Allah, and he regretted his action. And the other one did it out of arrogance, and out of accusing Allah of giving him wrong instructions. You see the result and the end between them. One was forgiven and made a prophet, and one is eternally doomed because of the niyyah at the time of sin. Same thing goes here. بَلْ يَتَدَارَكُهُ بِلُطْفِهِ وَيَمُنُّ عَلَيْهِ بِحِفْظِهِ وَيَعْصِمُهُ مِنَ السُّوءِ. Rather, not only that Allah will not allow him to go astray, rather Allah Azza wa Jal will يعني, embrace him with this kindness and gentleness, not in the literal sense, meaning the gentleness of Allah will embrace him. And Allah will bestow upon him his protection. And Allah will prevent him from being led astray. He will prevent him from sins overcoming him. كما قال تعالى عن يوسف عليه السلام, just like Allah said in regards to Yusuf عليه السلام, كذلك لنصرف عنه السوء والفحشاء إنه من عبادنا المخلصين. Such so we may turn him away from سوء, from evil and فحشاء, abhorrence or abhorrent sins. Verily he was among our selected chosen slaves. Because you have مخلصين and مخلصين. Mukhlisin meaning sincere, the person. Mukhlas meaning chosen by Allah. He was from those chosen by Allah Azza wa Jal. أي بسبب إخلاصه صرفنا عنه السوء. Why was he chosen by Allah? Because of his sincerity. And so because of his sincerity, Allah protected him from that evil. وكذلك كل مخلص. Similarly, every sincere believer. كما يدل عليه عموم التعليل. Such is in, as indicated by the general reason behind it. Anyone then who is sincere, you really want to obey Allah, you really want to follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, but you fail in doing so in some areas, you fail in implementing, Allah Azza wa Jal will protect you, preserve you, and will not allow you to go astray, provided that you are sincere. But if you're not, then you don't have all these privileges. So how many of those who celebrate Mawlid? How many of them are sincere? A minority. A minority who are really ignorant and they really think that they're doing something good. The vast majority have come to know with the often reminders of the people of knowledge about the bid'ah of Mawlid. They've come to know that this is not from the Sunnah. And they've never been able to prove with any clear-cut textual evidence that it is from the Sunnah. All they come up with is Imam Suyuti and Imam this and that, and they attribute things to Sheikh al-Sab ibn Taymiyyah, and they bring this fatwa of some scholars who, during their time, the Mawlid was very different than what you see today. But they can't get you a hadith, they can't get you an athar from the Sahaba, nor from the Tabi'een, nor from the Atba'u Tabi'een, not even one would support celebrating Mawlid. So they know that there's no basis for it, but they like it. Culturally, or for what, maybe they like sweets, and they offer a lot of sweets. Some people, all they care about is food. He says, Mawlid, Mawlid, I don't care, man. Are they going to have these yummy sweets? I'm there. I'm there, brother. Some people go for their bellies, and some people go to meet women, and some people go to look for a wife, and some people go to hear a beautiful voice of the female singers on the stage, and some people go for Allahu A'lam, and some people go to follow to think that they're loving the Prophet alayhi salam. We don't deny that. And may Allah reward them for their good niyyah, but their deeds will not be accepted by Allah.
Some people go for money.
For money? They make money there?
Mm. How to become a millionaire
one night? Okay, wow. There are additional things why people go. I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, what is this nonsense? Celebrating a birthday.
We have national holidays in different countries.
Yeah, I know. I wish these countries which give a national holiday for Mawlid applied Sharia first in the government itself. They bring a law of other than Allah Azza wa Jal and they apply it upon the masses, and then they want to give a day off for Mawlid. Ajib, ya Sheikh. Wallahi, ajib. Anyways. وَقَوْلِهِ وَنُصْرِهِ جَهَنَّمْ أَيْ نُعَذِّبُهُ فِيهَا عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ صَلَّهُ الْعَافِيَةِ. We will make him enter, or we will drive him into the hellfire, meaning we will punish him in it a severe, severe, tremendous punishment. وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا, and what an evil destination. أَيْ مَرْجِعًا لَهُ وَمَآلًا, meaning a place to return to, a place to return to and wind up with, or end up with. Ayah 116, excuse me, and these are two ayat which you have to memorize. So now, so far the homework is ayah 15, Surah Al-Isra, I believe ayah number 4 or 5 in Surah Al-Saf. You find on the first page of Surah Al-Saf at the bottom. I believe it's the last ayah before the second page. And these two ayat in Surah Al-Nisa, ayat 15 and 16. May you shakik al-Rasul, and obviously the biggest ayah, which is Inna Allah la yaghfiru ayushraka biha. Allah does not forgive that others are associated with Him. This ayah you need to memorize as well. وهذا الوعيد المترتب على الشقاق ومخالفة المؤمنين مراتب لا يحصيها إلا الله بحسب حالة الذنب صغرا وكبرا. Now, this threat from Allah, which the threat based on opposition and contradiction, and contradicting the believers, is at different degrees. None knows them or can enumerate them except Allah, because they are depending on the sin, small or large. Yani, when we say someone is يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ وَيَتَّبِعَ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, this is done on how many degrees or levels? Many. Some may be doing it in a very minor fashion, and some may be doing it in a very major fashion. So there are many degrees depending on the sin itself, the opposition of the messenger, in what regards? Because you know, there are some things, yani one thing which you do, which will necessitate that you oppose the messenger in around 10 things. Can someone name it? What is that one thing which you do, by default, it makes you one who has opposed the messenger in at least 10 things? Excuse me. What is it? I've given a lecture about this.
Things we do by default.
One thing you do, against the sunnah, which will the byproduct is that you wind up violating the sunnah in 10 other things. One deed will bring about 10. Yes. Shaving the beard. Some say, big deal, brother, you know. Who cares? I'm going to have a beard. You don't have a beard. Alhamdulillah, everybody seems to have a beard here, so I don't have to worry about anyone getting offended. Good. That doesn't happen very often. A bearded classroom. Mutawain altogether. The beard is an example. Shaving the beard will bring about the following. Imitating women, which is haram and against the sunnah. Imitating the disbelievers. Changing the creation of Allah. Disobeying Allah. Disobeying the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Going against the way of the prophets. Going against the way of the sahaba. Wasting money. Changing the creation of Allah. Following the path of the evildoers and the corrupt and the sinful. And the list goes on. All of these, because of shaving the beard, you bring in about, upon yourself all of these calamities. So that becomes, in the level of violation, this is pretty high, man. It's pretty high. Because you may do something that is only one. The result of it is only one sin. One opposition, one sin. And there are things which bring about, they drag many other things. This is what many Muslims have failed to understand. That's why they look at them lightly. They say, it's a big deal. Yes, it is a big deal. Because look at what it entails. Look at all these things which come because of that violation. So this is what is intended, wallahu a'lam. Now, فَمِنْهُ مَا يُخَلِّدُ فِي النَّارِ وَيُوجِبُ جَمِيعِ الْخِذْلَانِ أو الْخُذْلَانِ خِذْلَانِ. Some of these violations necessitate permanence in the hellfire, permanent abode or permanent abode in the hellfire, and will bring about all kinds of humiliation and disappointment. وَمِنْهُمَا هُوَ دُونَ ذَلِكَ. And others are lesser than that. فَلَعَلَّ الْآيَةَ الثَّانِيَ كَالتَّفْصِيلِ هَذَا الْمُطْلَقِ. Now, this ayah 116 is specifying the general ayah in 115. 115 says, whoever opposes the messenger after the guidance has become clear and follows the path other than that of the believers, we will let him choose that path and we'll put him in hellfire. That's general. Now, when we say about violating the Prophet ﷺ or contradicting him, we said there are many degrees. The next ayah now is specifying a particular form of contradiction, which is what? What is the greatest form of contradiction? Shirk. You see that? So after Allah stated that, you know, the idea of contradicting the Messenger of Allah, the greatest thing one may contradict him in is shirk. So Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَيُشْرَكَ بِهِ. وَهُوَ أَنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَا يَغْفِرُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Shirk Allah does not forgive. Wait a second. According to this, no Christian who embraces Islam would be forgiven. Correct? The ayah says, Allah does not forgive shirk. He does not forgive it. Someone becomes a Muslim, and before that he was committing all kinds of shirk. According to the ayah, Allah will not forgive that person because he committed shirk in his life and Allah does not forgive shirk. No. That's not what it means. No. What does it mean then?
If the person dies in shirk, then Allah will not forgive. He doesn't have a chance all the way until his deathbed. Say, la ilaha illallah.
Excellent. We say this has to be understood in the light of other ayat and other narrations. Ayat, إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات. Except the one who repents, believes, and does righteous deeds. Allah mentioned this after saying what? After he mentioned what? The ayat in Surah Al-Furqan mentioned what? Shirk. الذين لا يدعون مع الله إله آخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله ولا بالحق ولا يزنون. The ayah actually mentions that even if someone commits shirk, if he repents to Allah, Allah will make their good deeds, their bad deeds, good deeds. So we say, okay, then this ayah must mean if someone does not repent and dies in that condition, then he will, Allah shall never forgive it afterwards. You see why it's important to have a general understanding of the ayat in the Quran? You can't take one ayah and try to put it across the board, because you may go astray.
Also, there's an addition to that. Not just the one who doesn't die, dies, or the one who does not repent until the sun rises from the west.
Right. Yeah, I mean, exactly, because of the conditions of Tawbah. That it must be before the soul reached the collarbone, or before the signs of the last day. Particularly, and تشريق الشمس من مغربها. That the sun shall rise from where it sets. Good addition, Zakallah khair. Generally though, because this is more related to the last day, in current times, when we have not yet seen the signs of the last day, the one thing is what? Death. So that is a chance everyone is given. If they die like that, khalas. Why now? Now listen to the Shaykh. وهو أن الشرك لا يغفره الله تعالى. Allah does not forgive shirk. Why? لأن لتضمنه القدح في رب العالمين. Because shirk expresses belittlement of Allah, the Lord of everything. It's a form of belittlement. It's degradation. It's degrading Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's status. Belittling Allah's greatness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وفي وحدانيته. And it is also a form of belittlement of Allah's oneness and uniqueness. وتسوية المخلوق الذي لا يملك لنفسه ضرا ولا نفعا بمن هو مالك النفع والضر. And it is a form of equating the creation, the creature, which does not possess for himself harm or good, equating him with the owner and the possessor of harm and good, benefit and harm, afwan. Equating the creature who does not possess for himself benefit or harm, you're equating him with the owner and the possessor of benefit and harm. والذي ما من نعمة إلا منه. The one from whom there isn't a single bounty except that it is from him. Not even the slightest bounty, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وما بكم من نعمة فمن الله. There isn't a single bounty you have except that it's from Allah. ولا يدفع النقمة إلا هو أو النقم. And none can turn away or stop calamities and conflicts except him subhanahu wa ta'ala. الَّذِي لَهُ الْكَمَالُ الْمُطْلَقُ. The one who possesses the perfect, ultimate perfection. مِنْ جَمِيعِ الْوُجُوهِ. In all different facets. وَالْغَنِيُّ التَّامِ بِجَمِيعِ الْوُجُوهِ وَالْإِعْتِبَارَاتِ. بِجَمِيعِ وُجُوهِ الْإِعْتِبَارَاتِ. And the one who has the ultimate self-sufficiency in all aspects. فمن أعظم الظلم وأبعد الضلال عدم إخلاص العبادة لمن هذا شأنه وعظمته. So from among the greatest of oppression and the farthest of deviance is not being sincere in worship to the one whose status and greatness is as such. وصرف شيء منها للمخلوق الذي ليس له من صفات الكمال شيء. Or that you dedicate any act of worship to a creature who does not possess any of these qualities of perfection. ولا من صفات الغنى شيء. Nor does he have any quality of self-sufficiency. بل ليس له إلا العدم. Rather, he has nothing but nothingness. عدم الوجود وعدم الكمال. Non-existence, because Allah brought him to existence. وعدم الكمال, and he is not perfect, imperfect. وعدم الغنى, and lack of self-sufficiency. والفقر من جميع الوجوه, and poverty and need in all aspects. وأما ما دون الشرك من الذنوب والمعاصي فهو تحت المشيئة. As for other sins which are lesser than shirk, then they are under the will of Allah. إن شاء الله غفره برحمته وحكمته. If Allah wills, He will forgive with His mercy and His wisdom. وَإِنْ شَاءَ عَذَّبَ عَلَيْهِ وَعَاقَبَ بِعَدْلِ وَحِكْمَةٍ. And if he wills, he will punish, and he will torture and punish with his justice and his wisdom. So, which means that if someone meets Allah Azza wa Jal with Tawheed being sound, yet have committed other sins, it's up to Allah. Allah may forgive that person for these other sins because the Tawheed was sound, or Allah may punish this person because of these sins. Either way, Allah is going to be dealing with him either between justice and mercy. Justice and favors. No dhulm. No dhulm. No oppression. No oppression at all. وَقَدْ اسْتُدِلَّ وَقَدْ اسْتَدَلَّ بِهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ أَوْ اسْتُدِلَّ اسْتُدِلَّ, which is the passive voice, بِهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ الْكَرِيمَةِ عَلَى أَنَّ إِجْمَاعَ هذه الأمة حجة وأنها معصومة من الخطأ. عجيب, عجيب. This ayah was used as an evidence to prove that the consensus of the Ummah is an evidence of itself. The agreement, the unanimous agreement of the Ummah in and of itself is an evidence, proof. And that it is protected from error. The Ummah as a whole is protected from error. ووجه ذلك أن الله توعد من خالف سبيل المؤمنين بالخذلان والنار. Now is he speaking about ayah 115 or 116? 115, not 116. The evidence is ayah 115. Why? Allah has promised those who oppose the way of the believers that they will be humiliated and will be admitted to the fire. Allah promised those who oppose the way of the believers to be humiliated and admitted to the fire. وسبيل المؤمنين مفرد مضاف يشمل سائر من المؤمنون عليه من العقائد والأعمال. Now linguistically, سبيل المؤمنين is first singular, secondly possessive. It is possessive singular, which means it includes everything the rest of the believers upon in terms of belief and actions. يعني all the believers. فَإِذَا اتَّفَقُوا عَلَىٰ إِيجَابِ شَيْءٍ. So if all of them agree about the obligation of something, أو استحبابه or its recommendation, أو تحريمه or its prohibition, أو كراهيته or كراهيته or its dislike, أو إباحته or it being allowed, فَهَذَا سَبِيلُهُمْ. This is their way. فَمَنْ خَالَفَهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكَ. So whoever opposes them in any of that, بَعْدَ انْعِقَادِ إِجْمَاعِهِمْ عَلَيْهِ فَقَدْ اتَّبَعَ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِهِمْ. If anyone opposes them after they all agreed, then he has followed a path other than the believers. You understand? Now, some may say, oh, but that opens the door for them to invent many different things. They will innovate, and they will say, we all agreed to this innovation, and now it's binding on you to follow it. How do you answer that? How do you answer that?
As long as it fits the Quran and Sunnah, has evidence from the Quran and Sunnah.
I mean, generally, all Muslims cannot agree to something which is against the Quran.
End of story. What is the evidence? The many narrations. That Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said, لا يزال أو لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق إلى آخر الحديث. They will remain a group of my ummah upon the truth. They will never go away from the truth. Okay? So, it is impossible that all the Muslims will agree to deviance when there's a group that will never ever go away from the sunnah. أهل السنة والجماعة. الطائفة المنصورة والفرقة الناجية. Those who follow the way of the Salaf. These ones, you can't remove from the map. You can't say, let's ignore them and do ijma'. You can't do ijma' without them. In fact, they are the people of ijma'. And everybody else is just a waste of time if they want to bring about ijma'. So it is impossible that all the Muslims will agree about something that contradicts the sunnah, because they will always remain a group of people who simply don't allow the deen to be watered down. And they will not forsake the sunnah for anyone in the world. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ask Allah to make us among them. That's the biggest privilege in the world. It's one thing to be a Muslim, of course, and it's another thing to be a Muslim who is upon the right Islam. You're following the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. That's a big deal, man. That's the biggest gift you can ever be given. Because you see with your eyes, your own relatives, the own people around you, they are somewhere else, man. They're Muslims, but they're somewhere else completely. And you're only wondering, what is going on with these people, man? They must be nuts. How can you turn away from all this and follow all these deviant ways? And you can only appreciate the fact that Allah guided you to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. ويدل على ذلك قوله تعالى كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر. And another evidence for that is the statement of Allah, you were the best nation ever produced for people or to people. You enjoy what is good and you forbid what is evil. ووجه الدلالة منها أن الله تعالى أخبر أن المؤمنين من هذه الأمة لا يأمرون إلا بالمعروف. Excuse me. The point of evidence here is that Allah mentioned that the believers in this ayah enjoin what is good. They do not enjoin except that which is good. فَإِذَا اتَّفَقُوا عَلَى إِجَابِ شَيْءَ وَاسْتِحْبَابِ فَهُوَ مِمَّا أُمِرُوا بِهِ. And if they are then, if they all agree that something is recommended or obligatory, that can only come from something which they were commanded to do, because يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. They only command the ma'roof. فَيَتَعَيَّنْ بِنَصِ الْآيَةِ أَنْ يَكُونَ مَعْرُوفًا. So according to the text of the ayah, it must be ma'roof. If they agree to something, it must be acceptable in the deen. Otherwise, they wouldn't have all agreed to it. وَلَا شَيْءَ بَعْدَ الْمَعْرُوفِ غَيْرَ الْمُنْكَرِ. And there isn't anything after ma'roof except munkar. There's nothing after ma'roof except munkar. فَهُوَ وَكَذَلِكَ إِذَا اتَّفَقُوا عَلَى النَّهِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ مِمَّا نُهُوا عَنْهُ فَلَا يَكُونُ إِلَّا مُنْكَرًا. Similarly, if they all agree about forbidding something, then that must be evil. If they all agree to forbid something, it must be evil. Can someone quote an ayah quickly? I know we're taking longer than usual, but can someone quote an ayah to the effect that if it is not ma'roof, then it is munkar? If it is not good, it must be evil. And these ayat, you need for da'wah. After truth, there's nothing but falsehood. What's the ayah? There are two. فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَال. Excellent, mashallah. One at a time, brothers. One at a time. What is the ayah? Who can translate it? Give it a rough translation. فَمَاذَا. What is مَاذَا? مَاذَا to read?
What?
بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا ضَلَال. Deviants. You see how you translated your own Quran, mashallah? When you know the words, see, when you learn, you know ba'd. Ba'den, they say ba'den. There's the benefit of ba'den, meaning after. You know ma'za, you know ba'd, you know haq, you know dalal, you know the ayah. So now you have more of a reason to memorize it. So then Allah saying, what is after the truth except deviants? Meaning if it is not haq, it must be dalal. It must be dalal. If it is not ma'roof, it is munkar. There's another ayah. وَإِنَّ أَوْ إِيَّاكُمْ لَعَلَى هُدًى أَوْ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Can you translate that one? إِنَّ with an alif.
We.
And verily we. أَوْ
or.
أَوْ or. إِيَّاكُمْ.
You.
Because you say إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. صح؟ إِيَّاكَ. You or Allah. إِيَّاكُمْ. You. إِنَّا وَيَّاكُمْ. We or you. لَعَلَى عَلَى عَلَى الكوب على طول على هُدًى أو في ضلال مبين. Clear. So, verily, we or you are either upon guidance or in manifest error. That's how they usually translate it. So that means there are only two options. One of us is on the truth. Once the other person is on the truth, then the other one must be deviant. You get the point? وَإِنَّا وَيَّكُمْ لَعَلَى هُدًى أَوْ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. Two ayat, I don't know where they are in the Quran. I don't know where they are. We need to look them up. But I told you about the website Islamic City. You go to Islamic City, islamicity.net.com. I'm not sure. You can Google it. And they have something called phonetic search. Phonetic search. Go there and type the Arabic sounds in English letters. So type ماذا, put M-A-T-H-A. بعد B-A-D-A. الحق H-A-Q. Press enter. And you will get the ayah right there. Tell you where the ayah. But don't use that translation. The translation it will give you is Yusuf Ali. Okay? That old English. Thou, thee, and all this. None. You don't need that. Then you go to another website. I believe it's called thetruecall.com. Thetruecall.com. There you have the Sahih International translation of the Quran. You get the translation from there. You follow me? Na'am. So you remember these two ayat, ya akhwan. فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ And وَإِنَّا أَوِيَّاكُمْ لَعَلَى هُدًا أَوْ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ أيوة. طيب. وَمِثْلُ ذَلِكَ قَوْلِ تَعَالَى Another example to this idea is the statement of Allah. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ Such we have made you a middle nation. A balanced nation, so that you may be witnesses over people. فأخبر تعالى أن هذه الأمة جعلها الله وسطا. Allah said that He made this ummah a balanced one. أي عدلا خيارا, meaning they're just and they're rightly guided. ليكونوا شهداء على الناس, so that they may be witnesses over the people. أي في كل شيء, they are witnesses in regards to everything. فإذا شهدوا على حكم بأن الله أمر به أو نعن أو أباحه فإن شهادتهم معصومة. If they bear witness, if they testify that Allah عز وجل has made this obligatory, or He forbade this, or He made it allowed, then their testimony is protected from deviance. لكونهم عالمين بما شهدوا, because they are knowledgeable of that which they testify about. عادلين في شهادتهم, they are just in their testimony. فلو كان أمر بخلاف ذلك, had it been other than that, لم يكونوا عادلين في شهادتهم ولا عالمين بها, they wouldn't have been knowledgeable in regards to the testimony, nor would they have been just in it. Another evidence, all of this is the Sheikh trying to reinforce the idea of the virtue of the righteous predecessors, and that the ijma' of the ummah is, the consensus of the ummah is hujjah. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ If you disagree in regards to anything, refer it back to Allah and the Messenger. يُفَمُ مِنْهَا أَنَّ مَا لَمْ يَتَنَازَعُ فِيهِ بَلْ اتَّفَقُوا عَلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ أَمْرٌ غَيْرُ مَأْمُورِينَ بِرَدِّهِ لَكِتَابُ السُّنَّةِ This, now because whatever you differ, whenever you differ, take it back to the Quran and the Sunnah. The Sheikh said, which means that if they don't differ about something, if they all agree, that means they don't have to refer to the Quran and the Sunnah, because there's no disagreement. All of them agree about it. وَذَلِكَ لَا يَكُنُ لَا مُوَفِقَ لِلْكِتَابُ وَالسُنَّةِ That couldn't be. They would never agree unless it is an agreement with the Quran and the Sunnah. لَا يَكُنُ مُخَالِفًا It could never be in opposition. فَهَذِهِ الْأَدِلَّ وَنَحْوِهَا These evidences and their likes. تُفِيدُ القطع أن إجماع هذه الأمة حجة قاطعة. All of them allude to the fact that the consensus of the Ummah is a clear-cut evidence. So in case you're ever giving da'wah, you're debating with a deviant person, you have to know how to quote these ayat to prove to them that the Ummah will never agree to falsehood. And that the ijma of the Ummah is a hujjah in and of itself. ولهذا بيّن الله قبح ضلال المشركين بقوله then Allah عز وجل went on to mention the abhorrence or the ugliness of the deviance of the mushrikeen, and that would be ayat 117, 118, 119, 20 and so on and so forth, which we will deal with inshallah not this coming Friday, the one after. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.